Greetings to you, and thank you for tuning in to the Joy of Discovery radio program. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter. I want to welcome you back to the Joy of Discovery radio program that is brought to you and paid for by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. We are currently in a study of the coming kingdom of Jesus Christ, the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ, and we are working our way from the book of Genesis clear through to the book of Revelation chapter 22. So whenever we get started here in a moment, after I pray, we're going to step right into the middle of the message where we stopped last week. So we're talking about that theocratic kingdom and why it has to come on the earth, why God has to reestablish that. So we'll get back to that here in a moment. Let me pray with you first of all. Father, as we come back this week, Lord, and we continue to learn about the kingdom, again, we would ask, Lord, that our minds and our hearts would be set to be receptive to the teaching of your word. Might the Spirit of God have his way. Might he embed the truths deep within us. Lord, this is so important for the day and age in which we live in because it helps us to know what you're doing in this world. So, Lord, bless our study today. We will thank you for it. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Is not his present rule his inheritance? Why does there need to be an earthly kingdom? Because he must be triumphant in the same arena where he was seemingly defeated. His rejection by the rulers of this world was on the earth. His exaltation must also be on this earth. And so shall it be when he comes again to rule this world in righteousness. He has long awaited for his inheritance. Soon he shall receive it. Unquote. He's got to rule and reign. There has to be an earthly kingdom to restore what was lost in Genesis chapter 3. Otherwise, Satan is the victor, and he has stopped the theocratic kingdom. Let me go on. The bottom line is that if the kingdom is not restored to the earth and Satan wins, watch the words of Pentecost, and I quote, apart from the reign of Christ here on the earth and apart from his rule, God's purpose for man would never be brought to conclusion. God's purpose for the earth would be unrealized, and the problem generated by Satan's rebellion would never be resolved. Thus, the physical, literal reign of Christ on earth is a theological and biblical necessity unless Satan is victorious over God, unquote. There has to be a theocratic kingdom. There has to be. So I say all that to say this. Don't let somebody try to tell you that there will not be a thousand-year reign of Christ. And there are a lot of people out there, and that's what they will say. They do not believe Revelation chapter 20. They don't take that literally. Whenever it talks about the thousand years, that Satan is bound for a thousand years. A lot of people think Satan got bound at the cross. Those that believe the kingdom now theology, many of them believe that he is bound right now. My question is, what in the world am I battling with? If he has been bound at the cross and has not had free reign and his demonic spirits don't have free reign, then what in the world's all this trouble that I have faced multiple times in my life? Where's that coming from? So, anyhow, there has to be an earthly kingdom, and I want you to understand that. That's why, as we go through the Bible, you're going to see that that's the direction that everything is going. Now, let me show you the promise. Watch this. Watch Genesis 3, 14 and 15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, okay, between you and Eve, and between thy seed and her seed, okay, the seed of the woman, the offspring of Eve. Watch what it says. It, the offspring of Eve, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So that right there is the very first promise of the theocratic administrator, the one that the Redeemer that is going to come to the earth, the one that is going to redeem mankind and redeem the earth and be the theocratic administrator for God. That verse right there sets in motion the largest spiritual battle that has ever been fought, without a doubt. Because from this moment on, Satan is going to do his best to stop this very event from coming about. He doesn't know who, but he knows from verse 15 that it's going to be a man. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. He knows that. Watch your paper. Here's the very first mention and promise of the coming Redeemer. In verse 15, God made it clear to Satan. There was coming a man from the seed of the woman, from the seed of the woman, who would, it should say, defeat him and restore the theocratic kingdom on the earth. Therefore, this becomes the goal of history, to restore the kingdom on this earth. And this is exactly, listen to me, this is exactly what creation is, all of the world is looking for. Watch Romans 8, 19 to 22. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creature, creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature, creation, was made subject to vanity, not willingly. In other words, what that means is this. The world came under the curse, not willingly. But that was just part of what God did because of sin and the fall back in Genesis chapter 3. Watch this. But by reason of him who is subjected to same in hope. So while the earth is under the curse, there is a hope. Watch this, verse 21. Because the creature itself, or the creation itself, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into this glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So all of creation is looking for that theocratic kingdom that is yet to come. Because when that theocratic kingdom is finally established on the earth is going to go back to the way that it was before sin entered into the world. We've talked about that. There will be harmony between man and animals. There will be harmony between the animals. There will no longer be the curse. There will, to the point, there will still be death in the kingdom. The full curse will not be lifted till the eternal state, but much of the curse will be taken away in that theocratic kingdom. Watch the next paragraph. From the time of the fall, God has had a plan to restore the theocratic kingdom, and Satan has been doing all he can to stop the kingdom restoration. That is why there are so many attacks by Satan throughout history, such as the killing of the baby boys in Egypt, and there are many other ones, okay, just trying to eliminate that promise of the Redeemer. He does not want God's kingdom to come because he longs to rule the world. When a kingdom is established, Satan will be bound, and eventually he will be cast into the lake of fire where he will spend all of eternity. Watch Revelation 20, 1 through 4. It said, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Is there any wonder he fights against this? Watch this. And cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, nor in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. I put that last verse, verse 4, there because I want you to see that Satan is bound right before the kingdom is established. So the battle starts in 3:15. The battle starts. He has overthrown the theocratic kingdom in the first part of Genesis 3. Now there's an announcement in Genesis 3:15. That announcement is that there is coming a Redeemer, a theocratic administrator that will reestablish the kingdom. So that launches this all-out attack to try to stop this kingdom from coming about. So that brings me to the next point, the problem. Flip back to Genesis 11 now. Watch this. Here's another place where Satan tried his best to stop the theocratic administrator from coming. Does it in a little bit of a different way. Watch
11, 1 through 9. You know the story, but I want to read it tonight. And the earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth, which is exactly what God told them to do. We'll get to that in a moment. So this is all rebellion. This is all rebellion. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confuse the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scattered them abroad upon the face of all the earth. So, back to your paper, watch this. We've looked at this text many times. There was a rebellion against the command God had given to Noah when he stepped off the ark. Genesis 9:1. And I don't know how I got there, but I forgot to put it on. But it's on your paper, so watch it. It says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That command, that this whole movement was against that. But if you go back to chapter 10, watch this. Here you see who it was led by. Chapter 10, verse 8. And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Iraq, and Akkad, and Kauna, in the land of Shinar, same place the Tower of Babel's built. So listen to me. Before you get to your paper, I want you to listen to this. Nimrod, this is an attempt by Satan to get his kingdom that is going to come in the tribulation period. This is a one world order. This is a one world global kingdom right here. This is in rebellion against God. Nimrod was a mighty hunter, not of deer, not of ducks, not of bears or elk or anything like that. He was a mighty hunter of men. He hunted men that he could get to rebel against God. He is a natural born leader. This guy just has the ability. This guy has been groomed by Satan to fill this position. And so this is Satan's attempt to get the entire world to rebel against God. That's why whenever you go over to chapter 11 and you read about the Tower of Babel, they're building this huge tower. There was far more to it than that. Let me show your paper. Let me get you to the paper. Watch this. Nimrod is a type of the Antichrist. Nimrod hunted men to rebel against God, and he led them to Shinar, where they built a tower. This tower was a false worship system that was established by Nimrod through the direction of Satan. We know that when God came down, he scattered the people and he changed their languages, but something happened in the false worship system that needs to be understood. There was a false worship system that developed here that spread through the entire world. Now listen to me. So when they get scattered, in verse 8, the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. Okay, so whenever they get scattered, what happens is this, that they carry with them that very practice that they had learned there. You say, what was the practice? Watch this. Here's what research tells us about Nimrod and his wife. Nimrod was married to a woman named Samaris. The two of them had a child named Tammuz. Tammuz was killed by a wild animal, but then Tammuz was miraculously resurrected to life. Very similar to the way Satan in Revelation 13 is going to bring the Antichrist back to life in the tribulation period. Therefore, everybody started to worship the mother and the child. So they worshiped Samaris and they worshiped Tammuz. That was the religious system that was established at the Tower of Babel. The mother-child worship that went out through all the world. Today, it has found its way into the Roman Catholic Church. The Jesus that they worship is not the Jesus of the Bible. I'll be straightforward with you. It is not. That whole system has developed from this right here. It's fallen under many names, and I left all that out because there was a lot to cover in all of that. But it went throughout the entire world. But the point that you and I need to understand is that from this point right here, it poisoned all the nations. Watch the next line. Now, when the Lord went down to the Tower of Babel, he scattered the people. And he scattered the people. Each group carried something with them from Babel, and that was the false worship of the mother-child system. This system poisoned every group of people that spread from Babel. We'll come back to that false system in a bit. But listen to me. So all the nations that go out from here, from the Tower of Babel, all those nations carry with them that false worship system. Okay? That brings me. So that's the problem. That is the problem now. So there has to be a remedy. So watch what God does. And I've got a Microsoft program that decides it's coming up on the computer. Give me 1 second. Okay, here we go. Now we get to the remedy. Okay, so watch Genesis 12, 1 and 2 now. Come on over to Genesis chapter 12. So before this, okay, I want you to think about this. Every nation's polluted with that system, with that mother-child worship. Okay, so watch this now. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee, watch this, a great nation. Why? Because all the other nations are polluted with this false worship system. There has to be a new nation now from which in that nation is going to come this theocratic administrator. You understand that? There has to be a new nation. What are you going to do? Satan is polluted. In chapter 11 of Genesis, Satan has polluted all the nations of the world. So, God, what are you going to do? He says this, I'm going to take one man out of the midst of that. I'm going to separate him from that, and I'm going to make of him a brand new nation. Let me read this again, verses 1 and 2. Now the Lord God had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Okay, so watch this now. Because every nation was polluted with the false worship system of Nimrod, God would then develop a new nation independent of all others, and this new nation would be Israel. And it would start with a man by the name of Abram. Okay, but I want you to back up to 29 of chapter 11 here, 29 through 31. Let me show you something. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from, watch this, Ur of the Chaldees, to go into the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran, and they dwelt there. Now back to your paper. Watch this. Abram came from Ur of the Chaldees, which was the land of Shinar. Okay, so he came out of this whole mix. He came out of the whole mix. Okay, you see, Abram was also influenced by the false worship of Nimrod. Let me show you Genesis or Joshua 24, 1 through 3. Watch these verses. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. They presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. See that? Watch this now. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. So what God did was this. He had to start somewhere, so he takes Abram, he calls him away from all of that, and he takes him into the land of Canaan, and he says, I'm going to make a new nation from you. I'm going to use you And I'm going to make a new nation. And so here's what he's going to do. When we come back next week, we're going to look at the promises that he makes to Abram. Then we're going to go to the Abrahamic covenant. Because I want you to listen to this. The Abrahamic covenant points directly to that theocratic kingdom that is yet to come. That's what that's all about. That's what that's all about. But when we go through these promises that God makes to Abram, one thing that we need to pay very close attention to is the fact that these promises are literal promises. They're literal. You've got to get that. Because there are people that say that these are not literal promises. And there are people that say that the Abrahamic covenant is no longer in existence. Because Abraham failed. Well, that was an unconditional covenant that God made. It was a covenant. We're going to see that. We're going to see it was a covenant that was made by God with God is what it was. Abram was in a deep sleep. It was just something that was promised to him, but it was a covenant. And it all points to that kingdom. But let me go back here. Watch the top of page 7. We'll get this down to an end. Says God called Abram away from Ur to get him to Canaan, and it would be in Canaan, and Abram would be separated, and God would begin to work with him, and he would become the father of the new nation, which would bring forth the Redeemer who will one day restore the kingdom that was lost. Okay, but Satan didn't give up. He did not give up. I'm going to give you an example here. Watch this. Before we stop tonight, I want to show you how Satan tried over the years to get Israel involved in the mother-child worship. I just give you, you can find other passages that will show you this, but I wanted to take you to Ezekiel chapter 8, 12 through 14. Watch the verses. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, turn ye yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. And he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for, watch this, Tammuz. That's the child of Nimrod and Samaras. So you see what Satan has done? He has done his best to get Israel involved in this false worship to pollute that nation so that again, somehow, some way, he could stop the coming of the Redeemer, the theocratic administrator that would come on the earth. But he will not succeed in doing that. He will not succeed in doing that by any means. So, let me go back. I got done a little bit early, and that's a good thing because we have the communion service. So anyhow, it starts out with creation, and it starts out that with creation, God establishes that theocratic kingdom. Whatever man is created. He gives him authority over all the animals, over all of creation, and because that's his desire. Then you come to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And whenever you come to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, then what you find is the fall, which Satan came in and he overthrew the hierarchy. And so that theocratic administrator was gone. And now Satan is the god of this world. And in order for God to be victorious, now the kingdom must be restored to the earth. And so everything that we come across in the Bible, as we move our way through, you're going to see that it's pointing to that kingdom. It's pointing to that reestablishment of that kingdom in the coming theocratic administrator. Whenever Jesus Christ, at the end of the tribulation, will destroy all the kingdoms of the world, and he will establish his kingdom on this earth. That is God's purpose in this world. That's what everything is working towards. And whenever we start to see that in God's word, and we start to look at the covenants, it's like that Abrahamic covenant. And then that Abrahamic covenant, I'll draw you a diagram. It'll sit on the top. And then underneath that, there will be a Davidic covenant. There will be the new covenant. There will be the land covenant. They will all be sub-covenants of that Abrahamic covenant, but each one of them points to a specific part of that coming kingdom. And so you say, well, I don't know if I can get all that. Yeah, you will. When we get there, you'll get all of that. And we'll review things as we go along, and I hope you find it to be very helpful. There is a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn. I would say this to you, too. I would covet your prayers in the midst of preparation for all of these, because they have these two messages, and I don't say this for sympathy or anything. They have exhausted me. They have really exhausted me, just getting them together, and we've just got going. But we will finish it. We will stay at it. We will continue to go down this path, and we will study, and God will provide everything that we need. And whenever it's all done, we'll say, praise God for what he's doing. Let's pray. Father God, we look at this tonight. We see what Satan and his attacks against this theocratic kingdom. Lord, it's no different today. And it's going to happen in the tribulation period, too. It's even happening is the attacks against Israel today, because the promises of the kingdom and the promises of the coming, the earthly coming of Jesus Christ, they are made to the nation of Israel. And so, therefore, he's going to do everything he can to try to destroy that nation. And especially that will be ramped up in the tribulation period. Father, help us to understand as we go through this study, Lord, help us to get our minds wrapped around all of this so that we can understand it and better understand your word. And so whenever we come to your word and we read, then we can know that this is what it's all pointing to. This is the direction that everything has gone. And Lord, we'll thank you for that. We want to know more. I want to know more. I want to have the ability to be able to explain it clearly and teach it clearly. And Father, I pray that the people here will absorb it. And Lord, whenever it's all done, we'll praise you for it, that we understand more about your plan and about what you're doing and how you're working in this world. Lord, now tonight we come to your table to remember our Savior. Lord, my prayer tonight is this, that this would not be a ritual by any means. But this tonight as we come, Lord, that it would be new and it would be fresh, and that our minds would be stilled, and that you would take us back to the foot of the cross where we could see the one hanging in our mind's eye. We could see him hanging, the one that was beaten beyond recognition, the one that gave his life so that we could have eternal life. Might we remember him in a special way tonight? And we thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to thank you again for joining us. And I'll remind you that if you would desire any of our CDs, all you need to do is write to us, include the date of the program that you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655.